The plan went ahead, but the notion that there was a terrorism czar was misleading. In fact, what the departments had insisted on, and the White House had acquiesced to, was that there would not be a czar, with a staff, budget, or operational decision-making. I now had the appearance of responsibility for counterterrorism, but none of the tools or authority to get the job done. The President signed the new directives and announced them in his commencement address to the Naval Academy in June 1998. Clinton's Presidential Decision Directive No. 62 began, quote, "Because of our military superiority, potential enemies, be they nations or terrorist groups, are increasingly likely to attack us in unconventional ways, to exploit vulnerabilities against civilians," unquote. If Directive 62 had given me anything, it was a further invitation to get funding for counterterrorism and security programs. I set to work. By January, the President was set to ask the Congress for $10 billion for counterterrorism, security, weapons of mass destruction preparedness, and infrastructure protection. Before the overall federal budget went to Congress, however, the White House decided to have a week-long series of theme days. The White House communications staff called and informed us that we would have the third day for all that counterterrorism stuff. That meant we had about 36 hours to find a venue, get an audience, move in what the communications people called show-and-tells, and draft a speech. We called the National Academy of Sciences, which was four blocks from the White House, had an auditorium, and could easily assemble scientists to fill it. The theme would be using science and technology to increase our security. When our theme day dawned, I went to the Oval Office to attempt to do a pre-brief. For every public event on the President's schedule, there was a preceding 10-minute slot called a pre-brief, in which a member of the staff would explain to the President what the event was about and what he should do at it. Although it was abundantly clear that Clinton did not need and in any event would not accept pre-briefs, the schedule continued to carry them. One of two things happened during the assigned time slots. Either you were left sitting outside the Oval Office waiting, or you were invited in, and the President would discuss with you something other than the upcoming event. On our theme day, it was the latter. I feared he would discuss the impeachment, which was dominating the media and Washington chatter. Instead, the President chose to discuss the problems facing his cousin, a woman who administered public housing in Arkansas. We continued to discuss that topic as we walked to the limousine and drove through Foggy Bottom with sirens wailing. I sat next to him with a notebook filled with PowerPoint slides and backup material to answer any conceivable question about the $10 billion budget proposal. As the motorcade drove into the basement garage of the Academy, the President acknowledged my apparent concern that we talk about the topic at hand. "I read the speech, you know," he said, to calm any concern I might have that he thought this was healthcare theme day. "The way I see this whole problem, it's like arrows and shields." "Huh?" I asked, as we sat in the car and Secret Service agents stood waiting to open the doors. "Yeah, you know, like some guy invents the bow and arrow, and he's ahead for a while, until some guy invents the shield that catches all the arrows. Guy puts a wall around the town, and the enemy invents the catapult to go over the wall. Offense, defense. Action, reaction. Now we got new offensive weapons facing us, and we need new defensive ones. Am I right?" I acknowledged that that was one way to look at the problem.